Our next case this morning is number 042501, Lifton against the Board of Education.
May it please the court.
Ms. Kralovic.
My name is Claire Kralovic on behalf of the appellant Kathleen Lifton. The evidence in this case will demonstrate that Mrs. Lifton's speech about the early principal contract renewal and the kindergarten program was a motivating factor in the appellee's decision to discipline her. Such a summary judgment should have been denied. In addition, summary judgment was inappropriate on the other counts. The appellees try to paint Mrs. Lifton as someone who didn't think the rules applied to her. The opposite is true. Rather, this Disney Award-winning teacher was motivated by a sincere desire to provide the best education possible for her students. She had no history or reputation of not following the rules or insubordination. Rather, she had an outstanding reputation.
Could I ask you sort of a basic question? She gets the warning resolution, which is approved by the board at the August 28th meeting, but then there is... what happens actually is that she never in fact experiences 15 days without pay. She says, I understand, because she was taking sick leave, etc. But divorced from any suspension is simply getting a warning resolution an adverse employment action?
Yes, it is, Your Honor. Also in a First Amendment...
Why isn't it the same as a negative comment about one's performance put in the file, which would not count as an adverse action?
Well, Your Honor, also in a First Amendment retaliation claim, the standard is different for the kind of... you actually don't need an adverse employment action. But here it is the case. First of all, the warning resolutions are the most extreme discipline. It's a warning. It's a written warning. The most extreme discipline short of termination that you can get. Also, there was the 15-day suspension attached to it.
Well, but I'm trying just to, for the moment anyway, to see if we can separate our analysis of the suspension from the existence of the resolution, the reprimand, if you will, the statement in that resolution. I know, as you say, you know, if the only people who get resolutions are people who speak out, then there's a certain kind of First Amendment retaliation analysis that goes forward. But... I just need to reconcile this line of cases with the line of cases that says employers should be able to put evaluative materials, whether they're positive or negative, in an employee's file. And she, however wonderful she may have been in the past, these problems arise when she wants these rather immediate changes in the kindergarten program, and she does all the things that are rehearsed in the briefs, asks the parents to evaluate their own children for the last quarter, says that there isn't going to be babysitting, you know, all of these things that I gather are undisputed that they happened as events.
I'm not exactly sure what your question is.
Well,
question
I mean, again, it's, you know, if she's told through the vehicle of the warning resolution that they're not happy with the way things have been going for the last couple of months, I guess you're left with the question of the disproportionality of this in the light of the other kinds of behaviors that lead to warning resolutions, if it's the kind of adverse action that counts at all.
That's correct. You know, in the Garcia-Sewitz case, this court held that it's not whether they actually had basis to discipline someone. It's actually whether that was the basis that they used. And I think that that's what the evidence of the disproportionality and his anger at her, I can go through them. There's a number of reasons that show that's not the actual reason.
Do you have anything but the timing, though? I mean, certainly the timing is a factor in your favor.
Well, first of all, yes, we do. We have quite a bit. Dr. Meyer admitted in his deposition that Mrs. Lifton's speech was a motivating factor. He said that...
But when he says that, is he saying because she wants to wait until the fall for my principalship to be renewed, or does he say, you know, these letters she's writing canceling babysitting service and telling the kindergarten parents that she's not going to evaluate their students? I mean, you know, these letters are very business-related.
The one particularly that I'm referring to is the flyer that she sent out inviting the kindergarten parents to the meeting to discuss the kindergarten issue. In his deposition, Dr. Meyer admitted that he found that it was subversive that Mrs. Lifton would go behind his back to the LSC and that this was basis for discipline. He also
thought
it was...
Isn't this right after he asked her to wait until the next school year to address that issue?
It was shortly thereafter, and she felt that the needs of the kindergarten students were more important.
Right, so he had said, this is the way I want it handled, and she just decided she was going to do it another way.
Well, she felt that it was important enough. And as I said, she'd never had any history of insubordination.
Well,
she felt that he was already angry at her because of the her non-support of his early contract renewal.
But he doesn't say that in the letter. The only thing he says in the letter is, we discussed this. I said it's too late to do it for next year, and then the next thing he knows, and then he discusses it with her for quite a while. They talk about it. She's actually asking for very big changes that would impact other employees of the school as well.
Actually, they're really the classrooms were quite autonomous. With the kindergarten classroom, she wasn't looking for any change in the curriculum.
Yes, she was looking for somebody to cover the 2:30 to 3:15 period of time. She was either going to have them manage parent volunteers or have other assistants go cover that. I mean, there are school management issues implicated by her proposals.
There was some timing, but she was willing to work with him, and she also had proposals to cover that time.
Why does he have to accept her proposals?
He didn't have to. It's just that she had the right to present this issue to the parents and to the public. It was a matter of public concern. That's something that they all concede.
Right. We're not worried about that. But
the question was, did he really discipline her on that basis? He also states that that it was subversive for her to get the parents involved. That's very similar to the Garcia Sawich case, where the speech, you know, he's saying that he disciplined her in part on that flyer. In the Garcia Sawich case, the court found, in that case, the board discharged the employee for insubordination because he didn't follow the chain of command in airing his views. He posted a flyer in a supermarket. And there the court found that that was insubordinate because he didn't follow the chain of command. That's exactly what Dr. Meyer is saying here. She didn't follow the chain of command. She went to the LSC, and that was insubordinate. Like that case, the court there found that her speech, her insubordination was actually her speech. And here it's the same thing. You know, her insubordination was her speech, at least in part. And for this prong of the Mount Healthy analysis, we only have to show that it was a motivating factor. She does not, under the Spiegla case, the recently decided Spiegla case, have to show that it a but-for causation. So, you know, we can meet this prong because the question is not whether they had grounds to discipline her. It's whether they would have. And Dr. Meyer, if you look at the only evidence we have on that is historical. With respect to the board and Mr. Duncan, you know, we have the warning resolutions. There were only, first of all, out of the 200 warning resolutions issued over a 2.5-year period, the appellees cite to 10 that were based on the same conduct as Mrs. Lifton. Of those 10, 6 of them have other egregious kind of conduct. Physical and racial intimidation, I mean, all sorts of things that take them out of the context of Mrs. Lifton's. There really were only 4 that were based on the same conduct as Mrs. Lifton's, and even those were distinguishable. They all had repeated instances of conduct. For example, Harriet Lenz.
You're right about that. I mean, they're different kinds of things. But I guess the net result of this is that any teacher the kind of disruption of the normal curricular planning process is not something that a principal is entitled to invoke because of the speech rights of anybody who wants to raise it at any time. It doesn't matter how late in the day. It doesn't matter how disruptive to the administration of the school. It's just all on the table.
No, actually, in this case, defendant appellees had the opportunity to raise that in the Pickering analysis. That's when you look at is the government's interest, you know, in an orderly, you know, an efficient government, does that outweigh her free speech rights? And that's the analysis you do there. And once you get beyond that analysis, they've never raised that. Well, one of the three raised it at on summary judgment, but they didn't provide really any evidence. They didn't even pursue it, and none of them have raised it on appeal. That's really the analysis. They have to say that it that
right, which is a separate prong from the public. Is it of public concern? That's one part of the Pickering analysis. The disruption part is, you know, under Connick and the other cases,
right.
A separate part. We see it all the time, you know, police cases where a police officer wants to raise a particular point, and there's an interest in the orderly progression. I'm not sure that, well, we can ask your opponent whether that's out of the case or not.
Okay. First of all, another factor was, I spoke that the discipline was extremely disproportionate. Mrs. Lifton had never known anyone who had ever received a warning resolution. The union representative testified that she'd never seen such overkill, and she'd never even seen a 15-day suspension in all her years as union representative. The assistant principal, Lawden, also testified that, in her experience, the warning resolutions were only issued for the most severe offenses.
Could I just ask you one other thing? We're focusing on the First Amendment retaliation claim. You also have raised claims of procedural due process, defamation, and intentional infliction of emotional distress. Are you standing on your brief with respect to those claims, or are you abandoning them, or what are you doing?
We're standing on the briefs. I mean, if we have time, I'd like to discuss them. But
okay. I just
think
wanted
the First Amendment is the most important.
Clear.
Also, well, Assistant Principal Lawden said that she felt that they were that warning resolutions were issued only in, quote, cases where teachers were, quote, selling dope or having sex on the table. Also, the appellees, there's evidence in the record that the appellees treated other teachers less harshly. Other teachers failed to clean their rooms, and they were not disciplined or warned, including Mrs. Lifton in previous years.
Counselor, you keep referring to the fact that she was disciplined. It's my understanding that she was not, in fact, disciplined in that she never suffered the 15-day suspension because she resigned. So
actually,
why isn't that completely fatal to your claim?
A warning resolution is discipline under the Employee Discipline Code, the Chicago Public School Employee Discipline Code. It's one level. It's actually the harshest level prior to termination.
It's the beginning of the process, though, and she quit before anything came of it. Isn't that right?
Well, it's...
She
it's
took a lot of leave time, and then she quit.
It is discipline. I mean, it's discipline that was on her record. I mean, she received a suspension that she... I mean, she did... She was constructively discharged so that she didn't actually endure her suspension, but she definitely received discipline. You know, with a 15-day... Anytime a 15-day suspension is even considered, a hearing is required. So, I mean, this is discipline that she was even allowed due process rights for.
But she didn't ever... She was never subjected to the discipline because she quit before it could be imposed.
Well, the warning resolution itself was the discipline, even if she didn't suffer the suspension.
Well, it's just something on paper. If she doesn't actually suffer any loss as a result of it, why?
Well, within the context of the Chicago Public Schools, it's considered an enormous mark on your record. It's broadcast on both the internet and TV. She heard of it through other people, and I mean, it was a very big deal. I mean, nobody at the school had ever known anyone who received one. You know, there's numerous kinds of discipline that can precede warning resolutions. There's almost 13,000, approximately 13,000 teachers, and over a 2.5-year period, they issued 200 for these types of, you know, with any of the same types of allegations. See, okay. Also, another factor showing that they were motivated by a retaliatory motive was the depth of Dr. Meyer's anger. The record is filled with evidence that how upset he was at Mrs. Lifton. He told Dr. Lawden that he wished that Mrs. Lifton would be gone, He also stated that he could have tabled the issue, but he instead, quote, believed in giving people enough rope to hang themselves. He definitely wanted to find a way to get rid of her, and this court in Spiegla found that a decision maker's anger at a speaker's speech is evidence of motivation, of retaliation. As far as also the other teachers who... Oh, I see my time is up.
You're in your rebuttal, but you still have time. It's up to you as to whether you would like to use it. You've got about a minute left.
Okay.
So if you'd like to wait for keep
rebuttal.
The minute...
Okay.
Morning, Your Honors.
Morning.
Defendants readily concede that Ms. Lifton was a wonderful teacher, that she won the award that brought acclaim to her school. What Mrs. Lifton failed to concede is that she and the other LSC members chose Dr. Muir as the principal of the school, and it was up to him to run the educational program and to supervise the teachers, including her. Summary judgment was appropriate in this case because just based upon Ms. Lifton's admissions, it's clear that she was disciplined not because of her speech, but because of her actions. She admitted to every one of the incidents that the warning resolution covered.
But the problem with that argument, I think, is in a sense the comparability point. And by that I mean this. I can easily imagine that the Chicago Board of Education might, in some fashion, discipline people who did what Mrs. Lifton did. But if the only person who ever gets this warning resolution level of discipline is the person who has spoken out, let's say, to slow down the process of reappointing the principal and who has been proposing changes that would be, let's say, significant changes in the kindergarten program. The question is, are you singling her out for discipline that's vastly disproportionate because she has exercised her speech rights? And that takes me right away to the point that your opponent was making, which is that in the manual of the Board of Education, the mere issuance of a warning resolution, even if it didn't have a 15-day suspension attached to it, is considered a form of discipline. Is that manual something that's in this record, and can we look at that and find that?
Yes, I believe it's attached to one of our responses in the summary in our summary judgment motion.
So when we look at the manual, we're going to see that one of the forms of discipline the board is entitled to impose is the issuance of a warning resolution.
In fact, it's in the statute.
Okay.
The Illinois statute regarding tenured teachers says that you can't discharge a tenured teacher for conduct that might be remediable without giving a warning resolution.
Okay, so there's no doubt then on this record that this is indeed a form of discipline, even though she never served the 15 days. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
Okay.
I think a warning resolution is discipline.
Okay. And so if she's the only one, if these other people who are getting warning resolutions have been inflicting corporal punishment on students or having inappropriate sexual contact with them or in other ways wildly misbehaving, it certainly seems pretty mild to say I'd like to have a change in the kindergarten program.
Well, she wasn't disciplined because she asked for a change in the kindergarten program. She was disciplined because she didn't give her students grades. She didn't do what she was supposed to do at the end of the school year.
But no one else who didn't, I mean, that's not, when you look at those 200 reports, failure to turn grades in on time is not a common theme that runs through them.
Well, actually, it's
not as the sole reason.
Well, there's failure to submit lesson plans. That was the reason four or five different times. Failure to report grades and attendance, which were the same things. I can point to four of them.
Yeah, but out of 200, how about verbally assaulting the principal, disrupting faculty meeting, breaching student confidentiality, corporal punishment, excessive absenteeism, you know, threatening the principal? I mean, these do sound a bit worse than late grades.
Well, not grading your students at all and asking the parents to grade the students? I don't see that anywhere else. I mean, that was something that was pretty shocking and embarrassing to the principal. I mean, you can imagine, you know, asking parents to grade their own children and then 3 weeks later writing a letter telling parents, oh, I've been in Mexico for, you know, having a good time. Right after Mr. Muir asked her not to write any more letters, she writes another letter saying that she was in Mexico. So, you know, there's a number of things that happened here, not just that she didn't turn in her grades, or that, you know, she didn't do her year end of year tasks. She basically thought she didn't have to abide by the rules. She was the Disney Award winner, and she should get to have the rules that applied to other teachers just shouldn't apply to her.
Why isn't she just told about this? So, I mean, one has to ask the question, if somebody, you know, after getting this much public recognition, let's say has a period of readjustment, some informal counseling very well may do the job. Instead, they broadcast her name throughout. Anybody who chooses to tune in, you know, to the Saturday morning broadcasts of the board meeting and the internet, I mean, it seems that it's so different from what has happened in the other warning resolutions. One wonders whether she's raised a genuine issue of fact. Perhaps the board will convince a trier of fact that she really did develop an attitude after this. Perhaps it won't.
Well, I think that she's admitted to everything that she did, and there are other people who have been disciplined for similar things. Do you really want to get involved in deciding what level of discipline the 35,000 teachers that are...
Of course not, but if it's out of 13,000 teachers, only four have received this kind of discipline for this kind of behavior. We don't know the story of the other three, but the question is it disproportionate to what she did? Is the board retaliating against her for exercising her speech rights?
And I don't think there's any evidence that they are. She admitted to each of the things the board charged her with doing. And I think how can she show that that was a lie? She did everything the board charged her with
doing. Right, but if the only person that they punish is the person who spoke, then that's already a problem, right? I mean, there are many, many cases in the First Amendment area where you don't have a particular right to do something, but if the only person who suffers from it is the African American, or if the only person who suffers from it is the person who spoke out, then there does arise a problem.
All I can say is other people were disciplined for the same reason. We don't know all of the circumstances of what they were doing, but some of them were disciplined just for failing to submit lesson plans. So I don't know how to answer your question other than to say other people were disciplined for similar reasons. She did three pretty serious things. She didn't turn in her grades. She asked parents to grade their students. She sent letters after the principal asked her not to. And she didn't do her year-end tasks. And there was summer school going on in her room, and she had stuff piled in the corner. You know, maybe that doesn't seem too serious, but she didn't comply with the rules. And she got a warning resolution, and I don't believe there's any evidence that was based upon her First Amendment activity. So I'd ask you to affirm.
Your Honor, I'd like to go to the third prong, because if the plaintiff here, since she met her burden in showing that their actions were motivated by her speech, the defendants now, or the appellees now, have to show that they would have taken the same act regardless of her speech. And as you can see, they can't do that. With respect to the grades, I thought that was a very good point, because Mrs. Lifton tried to rectify it immediately. Second, if it was so important, he would have allowed her to complete the grades as she asked to. She even offered to go door to door to complete the grades. This was within a few days after she failed to send out the report cards. Also, he instead persuaded her to. He told her to forget about it. Everyone else has. At this point, he said that he'd already decided to discipline her about it. I think that's very telling. Finally. The only evidence you can look at as to what the appellees would have done is historical. And the warning resolutions go to whether the board and a Duncan would have issued the warning resolutions. They only issued one in the year 2000 on this issue, one in the year 2001, and two in the year 2002, other than Mrs. Lifton.
Counsel, I think we have the point.
Okay.
Your time has
Thank
expired.
You.
Thank you.
I ask that you would reverse the district court's ruling and remand.
Thank you.
Our thanks to both counsel, and the case will be taken under advisement.